Our reading is from James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. I'll be reading from the King James translation. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Good to be with you again this evening. I'm going to be talking just a little bit tonight about law. And I'm not going to keep you a long time tonight. We just want to observe a couple of things about law, because we live in a religious world today that believes, at least many people in the religious world, that we're not under law today. There are a lot of those who we generally refer to as faith-only folks who believe that we are under grace and that's it. That there is no law that we have to really abide by. The fact of the matter is, we are under law. And let's look at a couple of passages as we begin tonight. Romans chapter 8 is one passage of Scripture that comes to my mind immediately with regard to law. At verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." And you notice the first part of that, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." That is referring, of course, to the gospel of Christ. It's the law of the Spirit because the Spirit has revealed it. It's the law of the Spirit of life because that's what it produces, life. And so we understand he's talking about the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 at verse 16, Paul tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so the gospel saves. The gospel gives life. And so this is referring to that gospel. But we see that it is referred to as law. And so, yes, we are under grace. We recognize that. We are saved by grace. There's no doubt about that. But we are indeed under law. And, of course, there is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We made a quick observation of this passage this morning. At least it was on the screen, and we read it. We didn't talk about it much. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 20, Paul says, "To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law." And so, for a second time, we find Paul referring to the gospel as the law, this time the law of Christ. And he emphasizes here that it is the law of God. He wasn't without the law of God, but he calls it the law of Christ. It's not the old law. It's not the law of Moses, but it is referred to as the law of Christ. And we recognize that it is referring to the gospel. And so again, for the second time, the gospel is referred to by the word law. And then in James chapter 1, the passage that Andrew read for us a moment ago at verse 25, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." And so at least three passages where we find that we are under law, that the gospel is referred to as law. And so we are under law. It is a shame that there are so many people in the religious world today who are lost because of the misinformation that they have received with regard to grace and with regard to the gospel and law. Again, they've been taught that we're not under any law, just under grace, saved by just faith, and therefore there is no law that they have to abide by. Well, these passages prove tonight that we are under law. And when we stop and consider law, of course, today as human beings, there are all kinds of different laws, and we all have to abide by a variety of laws in our day-to-day lives. There's, of course, the civil law that we are under, and all kinds of laws that come into our life. But the fact of the matter is, there are some things that law have in common, regardless of what kind of law it is. Whether it's the civil law or whether it is the spiritual law that we abide by, the gospel of Christ, there are some things that law have in common. All law has, of course, rules and regulations and restrictions. And we recognize that with regard to all law. So let's talk about that just a little bit with regard to the gospel of Christ. Again, I'll just keep you just for a few minutes. I owe you a couple of minutes from this morning. I shouldn't joke around about that. You might take me seriously. But three things, rule, regulation, and restriction. Let's just talk about that. First of all, the rule. We say rules and regulations, but basically as Christians we have a rule, don't we? And when you think about law and you think about rule, there's at least a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, the idea of the rule, that is the ruler or the standard by which we're going to be judged. Whenever you have law, you have to have that kind of standard. You have to have a standard. You have to have a ruler, so to speak, a measuring rod. And we have that, and we understand that our rule is the Bible. And more specifically, it is the gospel of Christ, or it is the written word of God, the New Testament. And that's the rule that we have to go by. And so we must recognize then that we have that standard of authority. And we think immediately of what Jesus says in John chapter 12 when we think about that. And at verse 58, do you remember what Jesus said there, John the 12th chapter? And at verse 48, he says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I have spoke is what will judge him at the last day." So that's our ruler. That's our measuring rod or measuring stick. That's the rule that we have to go by. The rule is not denominational creeds. The rule is not some book that was written by mere man. The rule is the Word of God, and specifically, the Gospel of Christ or the New Testament. That's the rule, and we're going to be judged by that rule. We have a rule because we're under law. If we weren't under law, there would be no rule. But we're under law today, not just under grace, so there's the rule, and we have to follow that rule. And it's the Gospel of Christ once again, or this New Testament that we have to live by. Now it's very important that we realize again that this is the standard. The standard is not just what you think or what I think. We can't live just any way that we want to live. We're going to be judged by this standard, the Word of God. Very important that we understand that. But then at the same time, as we think about law, we think about there has to be a rule, then whenever you have a rule, you have a ruler, don't you? And I'm not now talking about just simply the measuring stick, but I mean the one who has the authority, the force behind the rule. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. He's the ruler. He's the one that has the authority. The one that has the authority is not the Pope. It is not some man or it's not some group of men. The ruler is Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Colossians 1 and at verse 18. And so we have to listen to him. We have to do only the things that he authorizes us to do. The Bible speaks, doesn't say anything about the idea of a pope. The only thing that the Bible says with regard to that, any passage that speaks of that sort of thing, only condemns the idea of exalting man above measure. 1 Corinthians 4 and at verse 6 talks about that. Jesus condemned that sort of thing in Matthew chapter 23. It's amazing how many people in the religious world, again, go by the wrong rule or put their trust in the wrong ruler. Jesus is the head. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need any co-heads. We don't need someone who is the head of the church on earth. Our head is in heaven, and he does the job that he needs to do right there and doesn't need anyone else. And so we're under law, therefore we have a rule. The ruler is the Word of God, the standard by which we're going to be judged. And the ruler or force behind that is Jesus and no other. But then there's that second thing, and that is the regulations. And there's a lot of people who say, well, I might admit that we're under a law and that there is a rule, but they just look at the rule as something very general and they forget about the regulations. And I know when you start talking about rules and regulations that those words even sometimes can be used interchangeably. But if there's a distinction there, the regulations have to do with the details or the procedure that is found or set forth by the rule. And those are the things that so many people in the religious world want to ignore. Those are the things that there are now some, even in the body of Christ, that want to ignore the regulations. We're under law, and all law has rules and regulations. So we have to abide by the regulations. Again, the rule is sort of the general standard. The regulations get down to the details of the things that we have to do, the procedures that have to be kept. And look over in Deuteronomy chapter 10 just for a moment, just to emphasize that a little bit. God has always been the kind of God that pays attention to details. We've talked about that a little bit in the series we just finished on Sunday mornings. But in Deuteronomy 10 and at verse 12, it says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul." Notice there, he talks about walking in all his ways. That's significant. That emphasizes the fact we can't just walk in some of the ways of God. We have to walk in all of his ways. And those ways are set forth in detail in the rule. That is in the standard. And again, there are just some people who say, well, again, I admit that we're under law, that we have rule, but there's no really specifics. There's no real guidelines. There's no details that we have to follow. We just have to obey God in a general fashion. That's just not true, ladies and gentlemen. There's a sermon I sometimes preach, or have preached at least, that I entitled, "You Better Read the Fine Print." And one of these days I'll preach that. But the fine print is important. We get in trouble in the physical realm because we read things and we don't read the fine print. And so we end up in trouble or missing out on something. And when it comes down to the rule, when it comes down to the Word of God, we better read the fine print. All of the details matters. We must walk in all of His ways. We must obey Him and do so exactly the way he sets forth in his word in the rule. And so there are some regulations. Let me show you how sometimes people mess that all up when it comes down to the kind of music that God wants. We know people will say, well, I understand the general law. We have to make music. That's right. God wants us to worship him by making music. It's not the only way, but that's one way. But most people will turn around and say, but you know how I do that really doesn't matter. He wants us to praise him and to worship him and to do so with music, but we can do it this way and we can do it that way. And they ignore the details of the law. There's details. And we know that when we flip over to passages like Ephesians chapter 5. I know you're familiar with that, but turn with me just for a moment and let me point a couple of things out. In Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 19, it says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." Now, again, everybody agrees that there's that general rule of making music. But what about the details? And do you know that there are some brethren, again, even today, that are just forgetting about the details? Now, most in denominational churches will say, well, it doesn't matter. We can play musical instruments and that sort of thing, and we have preached a lot on that and will continue to do so. Because in the details, we find we have to not only make music, but we have to do it specifically by singing. But there are some other things in the details. It's just the nature of law. You have law, you have regulations, and you have procedure, and you have details that have to be followed. Here, Paul says, speaking to one another. One another is reciprocal in nature, and it has to do with the idea of working together, doing something together. That's a detail, but it's a very important detail. It's why we dismiss as sinful choirs and singing groups and those kind of things. But brethren want to ignore the details. You can't worship God by proxy. We have to be involved. We speak to one another. When we sing praises to God, we all participate in it. That's not by accident. That's what God has set forth in this particular passage, singing one to another. And then he says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, do you know that there have been several churches now over the past several years who have decided that they can sing just any kind of songs in this kind of assembly? There are brethren who at certain times of the year, they sing patriotic songs that glorify the great country that we live in and the freedom that we have. Listen, there's nothing wrong with loving this country. There's nothing wrong with singing songs that indicate how blessed we are to be in this kind of country. But this is not the time to do it. When we come together not only to make music, that's the law, but we have to do it a specific way. We have to do it by singing. We have to do it by singing one to another, speaking one to another. And we have to do it by singing spiritual songs. It's the regulations that we have to follow. That's just the nature of being under law. All law, I don't care what kind of law it is, all law has those kind of regulations that those under the law have to follow. I think about the Lord's Supper. We, of course, have to partake of the Lord's Supper. That's what the law says. But in Acts 20, at verse 7, we find the regulation. We find the procedure that is set forth. We're to remember the Lord upon the first day of the week. We can't do it on Thursday. We don't partake of the Lord's Supper on Saturday. The regulations, the procedure, the details of the law matter. We do it upon the first day of the week. We're to lay by in store when it comes down to giving. We have the general law that is set forth. Again, the details, we have to do it upon the first day of the week. But that's not all. We have to do it not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but we have to do so cheerfully. The details matter. There's regulations that we are all under because we're under law. Like it or not, we're not just living by grace. We're saved by grace, and there's no doubt about that. We're saved by the mercy and the love of God, and we ought to appreciate that and thank God every day. But we are under law, and when you're under law, there's a rule and there's regulations. And we have to recognize that. And then the third thing, of course, is that there are restrictions with every law. And we're under law, and so there's going to be some restrictions. We can't just live any way that we want to live. There are some thou shall nots in association with any law. And I recognize that when it comes down to our lives as Christians, that there's more general authority that we're under, generic authority as opposed to the church, where God specifies some things. But whenever you're under generic authority, just by nature with generic authority, there ends up being more thou shall not. There ends up being more passages and details in the law that specify things that we should not, things that we cannot do and remain right with God. That might be the aspect of law that people like the least. As children, when we were children growing up, we didn't like when our parents said, don't do this or don't do that. And even as grown-ups and in the body of Christ and those who have reached the age of accountability under this law we call the gospel of Christ, we don't like the thou shall nots. We don't like the restrictions, but that's a part of law. And we're under law. And so we have passages like over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and at verse 9, Paul says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. And when it comes to fornication, God says, thou shall not. And it doesn't use that language specifically, but that's the point of all of this. You know by reading it yourself. These are things. If you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you can't do these things that Paul lists. We tell the little children sometimes, that's a no-no. And God has given us some no-nos. There's some things we can't do if we want to go to heaven after a while. We can't engage in fornication, nor idolatry or adultery, nor effeminate or homosexuals, nor thieves or the covetous, nor drunkards or revilers or swindlers or will inherit the kingdom of God. These are all things that God says you can't do it under this law that you're under. You can't live in that kind of way. In Galatians chapter 5, we have a list that is similar to that. Paul refers to it as the works of the flesh. He says at verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another, so that ye may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outburst of angers, disputes, dissensions, factions, envies, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we have passages like this that list all kinds of things where God is basically saying, you cannot do that if you want to go to heaven. Thou shalt not. And that's just typical of law. We can't live any way that we want to. Because while we're under grace, we're not only under grace, we are under law. Those passages that we read in the very beginning prove without any question that we are under law. The gospel is law, the law of Christ. And so there are rules, there's regulations, there's restrictions that we have to live by, abide by, if we want to inherit that kingdom of heaven after a while. I wish people would understand that. We are not under the kind of law that was in the Old Testament, that is the law of Moses. And we thank God for that. We don't have to live perfect lives. We should strive for that. But under the law that we're under, when we fall short, we have an advocate, the man Jesus Christ, who will, of course, help us, intercede for us, so that when we repent of our sins and we ask God for forgiveness, John said, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so the point of it is, we're under a better law than they were under back in the Old Testament. But it is law nevertheless. And there are those rules and regulations and restrictions. And I hope that we'll abide by them, follow them, pay attention to the details, so that we can go to heaven after a while. Are you subject to the imitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. The gospel is wonderful. It's glorious. It will bring you into a relationship with God. You can leave behind all of your transgressions, all the iniquities that you have ever committed, they can be taken care of this very night. The law says so. The gospel law says so. But you have to do your part. God does his by sacrificing his son. Never has there been a greater sacrifice than that. But everybody's not going to be saved automatically just because Jesus died for us. You have to obey that gospel law. Why not do it tonight? You may not have another opportunity. Jesus said that you must believe and be baptized, Mark chapter 16 and at verse 16. Why not do that? That's a part of the law. The details that you must follow in order to become a child of God. Believe and be baptized. Hope that you'll do that tonight. Come forward as we together stand and sing.